Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin. Ve salatu ve selamu ala eşrefil enbiyeyi vel murselin Muhammedun Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve aleyhi ve sellem. Tesliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of building relationships. And we talked about the question yesterday of our own position. Because relationship depends on my own understanding of who I am and who I am relating to. And we said we are all ibadullah. We are the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we come to the ayat which we were looking at of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, when my slaves ask about me, I am close to them. Let them ask me and I will give them. Now, the issue of dua is something which is very important to understand and to remember. Very often we don't pay attention to it. It's like a normal thing. But dua is an extremely important thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah." In another place, he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." He said, "Akuma qala alayhi salatu wasalam." In one place, he said, "Du'a is the brain of ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. It is the extract of ibadah. It is the hassle of ibadah, of worship." In another place, he said, "Du'a is worship." And that's the reason why it is not permissible to make du'a to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot make du'a to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot make du'a, obviously, to somebody. You can't go to a grave or something and make du'a there and ask whoever is the occupant of the grave, give me this, give me that. All of this would become a matter of major shirk if somebody did this. Dua is only and only for Allah. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, he did not put any conditions on dua. For everything else, for all other ibadat, there are preconditions which we have to do to prepare for the ibadah. For example, for salah, the condition is tahara and then wudu. So if you have no tahara or you have no wudu, unless it's a matter of jabr, or unless it's a matter of there is like you are oppressed or something, or you have no other alternative, right? So it's a majburi. Then you are permitted to do salah even without wudu. Make tayammum. If there is not even a possibility of that, then you do salah even without wudu, even without tayammum. But leaving salah is not an option. If you need ghusl, then ghusl is the precondition to get tahara and then we make wudu. But supposing you are in a situation where you are in need of ghusl, but there is no water, you are not able to make ghusl, then you make tayammum instead of ghusl and you make salah. Or if that is also not there, then even though you are in a state of janabah, you will still pray without wudu, without ghusl, without tayammum, because leaving the salah is not an option. Right? So those are special conditions. But by and large, for salah, there is taharat and ghusl. That is the condition for salah. For fasting, there is the condition that we must be in Ramadan and so on and so forth. For zakat, there is a precondition that you should have enough money to be able to do that. For hajj, again, preconditions, ihram and this and that. But for dua, there is no condition. Taharat is not required, wudu is not required, standing is not required, sitting is not required. Nothing is required. You want to ask Allah, khalas. Anytime, any place. And this makes eminent sense, because if I am in an emergency, if I am desperately in need, and I need to ask Allah, and if there is a condition, I must go and make wudu, where is the wudu? Where is the time for this? I need to ask now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you ask me, wudu ni? Astajib lakum. Ask me, I will give you. Ujibu da'at ad-da'i idha da'at. So first thing to understand with dua is that dua itself is ibadah, meaning that when we make dua, irrespective of what we ask Allah for, and irrespective of whether we get it or we don't get it, we get the thawab of ibadah. So straight away, if you ask Allah, oh, I don't have a job, Ya Allah, please give me a job. Oh Allah, give me rizq halal. Right? I still haven't got a job, I'm just making dua now. Maybe I'll get a job tomorrow or day after, I don't know. Right now I don't have a job, I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm already getting the reward of ibadah for making the dua itself. Right? So that's the first thing. First thing is, no condition. Second thing is, dua is ibadah, so we are getting reward straight away. Third thing is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba asked him, alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Uduni yastajib lakum, or you ask me, I will give you. But we have seen in our lives, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes we get what we ask. Whatever I ask, I get it. But other times, we ask and we don't get it. Right? This is true for all of us, right? I mean, sometimes you ask, you make a lot of dua for something, but it doesn't happen. Even though we make dua, you know, really very sincerely, and maybe we go to for Hajj or something, so you're making dua in the Harmain and so forth, but nothing. That particular thing which you ask, you don't get. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we ask but we don't get. So how do we understand this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this in such a beautiful way. He said that there are three ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua. He said, one, it's very simple, you see it, which is, you ask, you get. Ya Allah, I don't have a job, get me a job, Allah gives you a job. Khalas, you got it. Whatever it was, I don't have children, I want children, Allah gives you children. Right? So, whatever you have asked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Always ask with afia. That's another thing which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the side note. He said, ask Allah for whatever you ask Him and say, Allah, give me bil afia. With afia. Don't just say, give me wealth, give me this. No. Because you can get it. But you can get it without afia, and then it will become a problem for you. So he said, no, ask with afia. Allah, with khair, with afia. So one is you get it straight away. Second thing is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sometimes when you make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom does not give you what you ask for. But at that time in your qadr, there is a calamity, there is a damage, there is an accident, there is an illness, there is some test or there is some problem that was going to happen to you, but because you made this dua, whatever the dua is not against that, because you don't even know that in your qadr. You making your dua for your job or your children, for this, that, whatnot, right? But for this dua, in exchange for the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts and removes that difficulty, that accident, that illness, that whatever calamity it was, bereavement, Allah removes that from your life, right? So now, at this point, I make this dua, something has been removed, I don't know that, all I know is I made dua, I did not get what I wanted. Right? That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, keep on making dua. He said, you lose patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lose. So don't lose patience, don't say what is the point, I asked so many times, nothing has happened. No. You ask, because first and foremost, when you are asking, you are getting sawab for this, you are getting ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Even if I didn't get what I asked for, I got ajr, which is good. And then, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what is right and He knows what to give it and He knows what is the time to give it. So Allah will give it, inshallah. So second way is what? That some calamity which was to befall you is removed. Third one, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that Allah does not give you what you wanted. At that point in time, in your life, there was no calamity also. That dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps with Him. Jalla Jalalu. And He said, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to you, you asked me for such and such. I did not give you. Right? But then He will show you a second dua. He said, you asked me for such and such. And this calamity was there. And that day, you and I will see what calamity it was. And then Allah will say, that this is the third dua of yours. You asked me, I did not give you, and there was no calamity to remove. That dua is with me now. Ask me now and I will give you. Where is this happening? On the day of judgment before the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you knew, if you really understood the value of this, you will wish that your whole life you make dua and Allah does not give you anything. Whatever dua you ask, Allah does not give you. But instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps all of these du'as with Him in trust. And then when you meet Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now ask me and I will give you. And whatever you ask, Allah will give you. On the day of judgment, oh Allah, forgive my friends. Oh Allah, forgive this. Oh Allah, forgive Shaykh Yawa. Will you do this, inshallah? Seriously, I'm asking. If Allah will keep du'a for you, inshallah. So at least one du'a for me. This is very, very important one. So never lose heart. Sometimes if we, what is the point? No, I'm asking this thing again and again, nothing's happening. No. Because my brothers and sisters, remember, this life is how long? How long? Somebody who lives for 1,000 years also, when that person is woken up, come labithum, how long did you stay? Labithna yawma naubadayo. I stayed for maybe one day, maybe a part of a day. So what is our life? 30, 70, 60, 80, 90, whatever, right? It's nothing. But what is with Allah is everlasting. So this part of this ayah, Ujibudawatuddai, is Allah. Allah said, you ask me, I will give. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want. Allah did not put conditions on it. Obviously, I don't have to tell you don't ask for haram things because you will not ask for haram things. Alhamdulillah, you are, good Muslim, mashallah. But other than that, Allah did not put any conditions on what you can ask and you cannot ask. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want. And inshallah, in the course of the next few days, we'll also talk about how to ask and all. We'll come to that, inshallah. But for today, this is enough, inshallah. Ask Allah whatever you want. Never lose hope. Continue to ask no matter what, knowing that this dua is going to Allah. Allah is listening to that. Allah will give you or not give you based on what is good for you. But meanwhile, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a reward. And Allah, what Allah has not given you, Allah is keeping those du'as with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And those He will give you on the day when that will be the greatest treasure that you and I can ever imagine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us these du'as when we meet Him and to enable us to ask Him for what He what is pleasing to Him, and to give us what we ask with khair and afia, and to add to that from His generosity and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wa salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.